Sounds to me like you'd be lucky to escape with an execution.
You both know as well as I do that the death penalty is illegal in Colorado, gentlemen,
Pickett ventured, only to immediately recognize how lame an excuse this was. Relax, Colonel. It was just a joke, Tony said with a hiss, and Pickett could have sworn in that moment that maybe Orlando had killed Tony, and the man who had come back was a demon of some kind, just wearing his skin, set on vengeance against those who had wronged its original owner. Though I don't know what kind of joke you thought you were setting up by keeping all of this incriminating information at your desk. Jesus, did you want somebody to find out what you've been up to? Were you just waiting for me to find it that day?
Do you really think I'd be so stupid as to just leave all of this important information for all to see, Tony?
Pickett said, with an unconvincing, fumbled laugh.
It's a ploy, a bit of trickery meant to throw Orlando for a loop. Give him the illusion that he had me under control in his back pocket. You can't imagine that all those documents are real.
In truth, it had hardly been a conscious decision on Pickett's part to operate like this. It had all begun so casually, so innocuously, and in so many different ways. A bribe here, a bit of money transferred there, that Pickett had not realized just how deep into all these dirty dealings he was, until the day he looked up and found that the combined documentation he had was simply too big, too unwieldy to bring back to his home and organize there. But his desk was so cluttered that it seemed insane anybody would be able to distinguish one file from another, and he'd been right, until now. Most people took one look at his landfill of a desk and thought better of it. Not for the first time in the last 10 days, he cursed the look that had brought Rodriguez here, cursed as well the fact that this stupid habit would betray him, not once, but twice. Rodriguez, as the disappointed shake of his head indicated, wasn't buying it. We didn't drive all this way in the dead of night to play games, yet here we are, trying to negotiate with you, a known traitor in good faith. It feels a little insulting to be treated like this, considering the pains I'm taking here, despite the way you've treated me. What, you've just been leaving out incriminating documents to throw off who, exactly? Face it, Pickett, you're a worse liar than you are a colonel, and that's a pretty fucking low hurdle to clear. Pickett felt the hand of Tony's accomplice tightening, vice-like, on his shoulder, saw a look of incipient, fiery menace flicker in Tony's eye.
That's not it. It's...
Pickett tried to come up with an excuse, but between the grinding pain growing slowly in his shoulder and the threat in Rodriguez's expression, he was helpless to come up with anything in his defense. Moreover, he realized that if he didn't do something to win these two men over to his side, he would end up stuck between whatever more immediate consequences Orlando and Moreland imagined and the blackmail threatened by his current tormentors. If the latter was likely to prove less lethal than the former, it was also likely more open to negotiation than the former, who had shown their willingness to throw away Pickett if he'd ever gotten to prove too costly. Tony's near-death experience was proof enough of that. Rodriguez and this man, though, they hadn't come here for nothing, and for all their bluster, hadn't done much worse than rough him up yet. They might very likely be interested in killing him if it came to that, but their very presence here meant they were amenable to some steering. Finding in this knowledge just an inkling of composure, he spoke again, voice still a shaking wreck.
You caught me, Rodriguez. It's exactly what it looks like, but you have to believe that none of this was ever my idea. My work has all been done at Orlando's behest. You know what that's like. You know how these men can get...
Tony smirked at that, then scoffed. Really? Because I was with them, like you say, and I don't recall doing anything for them, except getting thrown off a dam. A dam? Pickett almost sputtered with disbelief. He even felt the traces of a smile creeping across his lips. No sooner than it had shown up, though, than it fled, terrified at the expression on Tony's face, and all it did to confirm the ludicrous claim. Jesus, but that was impossible. What I'm trying to figure out here, Pickett, and what I need you to help me understand, is who exactly are they? Because the only people I've had any contact with are you and Orlando, and if you don't start giving me some names, I'm liable to think there is no conspiracy. That it's just you and Orlando, and you're just trying to pull another fast one on me. So saying, Rodriguez leaned back in the chair, like some tycoon kicking back after a hard day of work, lifted up his legs, and then brought them crashing down with tremendous force onto Pickett's hands. Though the pain was so tremendous that Pickett could not help imagining his fingers had been broken, he could not thrash, and he could not scream to express his pain. Rodriguez's accomplice had clamped his one hand on Pickett's mouth and another on his shoulder, pinning him to the desk and muffling his screams. When he was done crying and had composed himself enough to splutter the words out, Rodriguez's accomplice loosened his clamp on Pickett's mouth, affording the colonel a brief window to speak. Pickett began.
"You have to believe me, Rodriguez. I'm not the one pulling the strings here. I may have been running my own series of investments and plans before that time, yes, but they were for my private benefit. I wasn't aware of all this until it came to replace the water pipes and systems back in 2019. That's when they approached me."
"Again, Pickett, you're dodging my question. Who are they? And why, exactly, would they choose you?" Rodriguez inquired, leaning across the desk. His anger had smoldered a bit, cooled, likely sated by that last major display of sadism. But that only made it scarier to Pickett, steelier than the more reckless lashing out he'd done earlier. It suited him better. "Or are you just trying to cover up for the fact that it was you who went to Orlando in the first place? Trying to divert attention from your role in all this? Because I'm still not convinced you're not just trying to save your own skin." Constrained as he was by the firm grip of Rodriguez's accomplice, Pickett nevertheless managed a pained shake of his head.
"I was content with the operations I had. Unlike Orlando and his handlers, I have no interest in any grand political statement."
Rodriguez's accomplice ground his elbow into the small of Pickett's back, pushing him further against the desk and driving the air from his chest, while Rodriguez, now standing tall at the desk, yelled down at the hapless colonel. "Grand political statements like what?" his aggressor shouted. "Why would they go to you if you weren't aligned with them?"
"No, I..."
As the elbow ground deeper into the small of his back, Pickett bit his teeth down harder to power his way through the discomfort. He felt his head dip down close to the edge of his own desk, could feel the man's hot, accusatory breath near his ear, until suddenly Tony barked, "Let him go! I want to hear what he says!" And Pickett felt the pressure withdraw. Humiliated and contrite, he rose to his feet, to find Rodriguez glaring at him, not with the same utter contempt he'd expressed earlier, or the sadistic enjoyment he displayed at other times, but something more focused, serious, something more businesslike, the kind of appearance that seemed of a piece with Rodriguez's reputation as a famous negotiator. Pickett wanted to spit in his face for the insult he'd received so far, but was too cowed to do so. Pickett, so used to gamesmanship and manipulations, had never before felt so cornered in conversation, not even by Orlando or his benefactors.
"Thank you for calling off your man, Rodriguez,"
Pickett said, with a relieved little huff.
"But I'm serious when I say that it was Orlando and his group that came to me, not I to them, and not for any reason born of ideological overlap."
"Then why come to you at all?" Rodriguez asked, with an air of doubt that suggested only an idiot would turn to Pickett given his character.
"Because of my connection to the purse strings around here. Because I'm the one who has final approval over everything. Not that they had any illusions I wanted to help with their project. Not really. Men like that, they never have trouble sussing out ideologues from mercenaries. And as these things go, I'm purely mercenary. From the first, they made it clear that my participation was always intended to be a matter of blackmail rather than agreement.
And so you just went along with it to save your own skin, Tony hissed, nodding his head in understanding, and the man behind Pickett echoed the sentiment.
Bet you thought that was real smart of you, real clever. Like you had them in a position where they couldn't touch you anymore, huh?
Pickett had to admit, if only privately, that the man's accusation wasn't far off the mark. But it had been a miscalculation, and a particularly foolish one, as he understood now. Not that he could let the two here know that. The better he presented himself, the more he ensured that he could stay useful to them, the less likely he was to end up wearing cement shoes. Not that he harbored any illusions of turning Tony to his side or ingratiating himself. No, he just wanted to live, a desire he felt all the more when Tony's companion's hand fell on his shoulder and began to apply the same pressure that had terrified him earlier.
"Don't you just see the gears turning in his head, Tony?" the hand's owner hissed, all malice and latent violence.
Rodriguez nodded as he leaned forward.
"Just spinning in their tracks, the teeth all filed down, the whole thing going nowhere. You don't imagine we can't guess what your real plan is here, Pickett, do you? That we can't see you trying to get a way out of this hole you've made for yourself? But the thing is, we can already tell how badly making a deal with you is going to go for us. And I don't think your former employers would necessarily disagree. So I need to know, why don't we just end your life right here?"
Rodriguez flexed his hand, brought it close, then clamped it down hard on Pickett's windpipe. It seemed a trick for a second, or a joke, until suddenly it wasn't, and Pickett found himself fighting against the pressure for breath. Meanwhile, the voice over his shoulder hissed,
"Even if you do start squawking right now, how can we tell that you're giving us the whole truth, Pickett? Why should we trust you, that you won't feed us every damn stupid lie you fed them, or that you won't call them as soon as you're free, and give them everything they want on us?
I say, we just tie this loose end up now, Tony. Leave all this shit on his desk for his secretary to find tomorrow, throw him in your truck, and drive him over to the nearest dam. I've got a few weights in my back truck I was looking to throw out anyway." Tony leered as he bent in further, his face serious and stern, but rippling with barely hidden anger that the vice of his ever-tightening grip made overt.
"That's certainly better than anything our friend here's offered."
Pickett felt his feet leave the floor, Rodriguez lifting him up, and with that change in elevation, felt himself struggling, gasping for any breath that would come. It was almost a relief that Rodriguez hurled him across the room and into his secretary's desk, though his accomplice immediately strode over to hover over Pickett and ensure him this was no reprieve, while Rodriguez himself turned to confiscating the documents from his desk.